Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In a world dominated by screens, algorithms, scrolling, and even attention spans that no longer exist, there is something quite remarkable about a bookshop that has survived and thrived for 56 years. The Connell Bookshop has a long been far more than simply a place to buy books. It's really been very much part of the community and institution. It's been a memory bank in a way, and a place where generations have gone looking for Siddurim, for Sfarim, for all sorts of books around Jewish identity, history, laws. It's absolutely fascinating for me because I love to understand how we've changed, what demand has shifted. Joining us in studio this morning, David Aronovitz from the Connell Bookshop. They, as I mentioned, are running a major sale, but we'll talk about that in a minute. David, a very good morning to you. Firstly, thank you for joining us. 56 years is extraordinary for an independent bookstore. Never mind a niche religious bookstore. What was it, or what is it about Connell, about the Connell Bookshop, that has created an environment that that has allowed it to thrive?
Firstly, thank you very much for inviting me, Howard. It's a good question you asked, what was and what is. 56 years ago, there were bookshops, Jewish bookshops in South Africa, who had provided the Jewish community specifically with needs for the synagogues, for some of the school programs that were operating in the very, very limited educational environment that we were in those years. And as the kiruv, as the growth of the change of the Jewish community came, there was a need to find something that was far more focused specifically in the area of Judaism. And that was where it started, with two shelves in the middle of the suburb of Observatory. We would come in those days, students, we'd hang on to the burglar bars outside if we didn't arrive in time to hear the shiurim. And afterwards, over coffee, we were allowed to look at two shelves of books and wait for 3 to 4 months to buy books.
Wow.
And receive them. On a whole new area of exposure in terms of the change in the community that was coming. And it graduated. It was run by two individuals. I would mention the name of a person who's very dear to the community involved, Monty Orenstein, and one of the rabbis from the Kollel itself. And he eventually graduated across and opened up the Chabad bookstore. The bookstore was taken over by one of the members of the Kollel. His name was Michael Katz, not our Michael Katz that we know well today, but Rabbi Aloy's nephew, I should say. And I was in business. I was one of the benefactors, not the benefactors, but I certainly benefited from the availability of very limited books, but something that I've always loved. And Michael started running the bookshop from the beginning of the bookstore right through till 1981 when he decided to emigrate. And I said to the Rosh Kollel, I'll take it over. I travel overseas and I'll be able to liaise with the various, in those days, not many, many actual publishers, but they were there, and be able to have a direct face-to-face relationship with them and see what the needs were for South Africa. And South Africa in those years was at the forefront of the Kiruv world. And the needs were a searching for identity. I come out of the 60s and 70s. That was the hippie generation. It was the period where people were searching for identity. And the books that were being provided by the original Kiruv personalities that were involved, the beginning of the Or Sameach in Israel, Devar Yerushalayim, who was the first real Kiruv yeshiva that existed by Rabbi Horovitz, and the opportunity of being able to connect directly with the publishers and bring books to South Africa.
And at that stage, it was probably a lot more English, as you said, books about identity rather than classic Sfarim.
Very good point. Until then, Judaism was very limited in its exposure, especially in the depths of our past in terms of the Gomorrah.
I would imagine there wasn't a huge demand from the greater community.
Had not been exposed to it.
Yes.
Some of them, a lot of the Jewish influx that had come pre-Second World War thought that, well, that was the end of the shtetl type of Jew involvement. So
it moved away.
It moved away. And suddenly English became part and parcel of the vernacular of Judaism worldwide and certainly here in South Africa.
So fast forward to today. I would imagine that Kolo Bookshop today is required really by demand to serve a full range. I mean, I've bumped into people from the Afrikaans community, not Jewish, who come to buy books about Judaism. I've bumped into people there for certain Sfarim that that they require for their daily yeshiva learning. It's an incredible range of people, actually.
So we actually service an incredible range of people, Jewish, non-Jewish, churches, people who are searching today in a language that they can understand. So especially here in South Africa, you'll see that the balance in our range of products is very much about an 80-20 base. 80% of our books are already available in English,
right,
or in Hebrew and English.
Yes, yes.
So there's no real excuse for a person not to be able to find what he needs. And the subject material, by being, unfortunately, being really the last vestige of being able to have an exposure for the whole Jewish community to the range of Judaica, we're there for them, and we supply across the board each type of Jew.
Mm.
We do have a very limited Sephardi community in South Africa, but we try and help there.
Right.
We have a strong Chabad community. We have a very, very general Orthodox community. And then the outliers. And then, as I said, the non-Jewish environment, which is all searching. When they are searching, we hope they can find their products in our bookstore. And the genres are
immense,
extensive.
And, of course, catering for kids as well. Catering for kids, catering for the Chagim, whether it's whatever it is, a Megillah, whether it's a Haggadah for kids. Have you seen a shift as well following October the 7th in terms of what people are looking for?
Right. Yes, definitely. I think that the confusion in terms of the let's call it just the non-truths that are spread out there and the difficulty that's faced, we try and make sure that the books that we do carry, and there is a lot of titles that are coming onto the market constantly, they really project as truth as best as they can. We sell out very quickly. South African communities play quite a role in a couple of very, very important books that we exposed. The 7th October book, which was an example of really the heroism of many people and the difficulties that they faced as they were caught up on that very sad and unfortunate time, has sold extensively in this country, especially because there was a strong South African influence in that book. Rabbi Perez, as you know, this very sad story of his son. And very recently, there's another book that's just come out very much in the last 2 weeks. It's If You Read This Letter. It's a letter that was written by many soldiers who were going out to the front lines, who had left letters and said, if I don't come back, please read this letter. And with permission of the family, these letters have been put together in a book. I think there are 49 of them. And they're very tearful letters
to read.
Somebody
said to me, in fact, his brother has a letter there. His brother, unfortunately, had been killed. And he said to me that it, as tragic as it is, it's one of the most inspiring things you could read.
Well, I think that was the motivation of putting a book together. The first first way you look at it, when you hear about a book like that, you say, why do we want to publish something that's so personal?
Yes.
But at the same time, these letters expose the reality of life, that young people who are still very much in their beginning years of their maturity, going into the big wider world, and now have had their lives just ended very suddenly. And you see the incredible sensitivity of how they've written in terms of the gratitude that they have to their parents, the relationship to their partners, friends, whatever area that they're involved in. And it's an insightful awareness of our value of life and how we've got to really value it to the degree that we should.
Before I ask you about the sale, because we are running out of time, one of our listeners asking if you cater for any Yiddish speakers. Is there a demand for that?
I'd love to say yes. It is very minimal. There are still books and not available and reducing all the time. Sadly, although South Africa was a very strong Litvish community, its demand has dropped to the extent that very rarely do we get demand. Costs of bringing in a few Yiddish books and lying on the shelf waiting for somebody to buy them doesn't really pay.
I do want to talk about the sale, because we've announced it. It's starting on the 31st, which is Sunday, and from what I understand, and just tell me if my understanding is correct, is obviously the books in the store are on sale. Is it everything?
First time in 56 years, the bookstore is on sale.
Wow.
But with an added advantage.
Tell me that added advantage.
We have got and been able to get the cooperation of some of the key publishers where people will be able to buy certain genres in advance at a specific price of the US dollar price.
That's unbelievable.
Less 30%. Delivered in South Africa.
Wow. Because obviously the dollar, in fact, I remember some years ago I bought my set of shas from you, and it was also where you had spoken to the publishers and you had managed to secure a price for South Africans, and it's so valuable. It's a lifetime of value, really. So in other words, you can buy what's in the store, but on sale, but also you can place orders that will be which you will get delivery for directly from the publishers.
Right. So it's specific areas.
Yes.
It's not across the board and one-off titles. That's specific to sets will be done.
Yes, but that makes sense.
It's an incredible advantage, and it's to the community to be able to build their libraries in both the personal capacities and community capacities, schools, resource centers that may be and are around the country.
Absolutely amazing. Certainly you'll see me there. David Aronovitz, thank you. From the Colel Bookshop, reminder that sale starts on Sunday the 31st of May.